Hallelujah. Let's pray over the word. Father, in Jesus' name, we just love you tonight, and I thank you for revelation of your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that brings to light the word of God tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, tonight we're talking about, what are we talking about? Overcoming fear and worry. And I had so many different directions, and I kept telling Pastor, I don't know which direction to go. I have this and I have that. And he was just like, I think I was wearing him down. We just go and figure it out. You know, sometimes you want somebody else to give you the answer, especially your husband. But I just really kept feeling this direction tonight. But because the world is honestly been filled with fear and worry, especially not just even in just the recent few days, but even in the last probably 2 or 3 years. And fear and worry definitely have an effect on lives. It has effect on our spirit. It has effect on our bodies. It has effect on how we act and how we react. Amen? And so, and as you can see, you know, the world promotes fear. You can watch TV at the advertisement. They make money on fear. Commercials promote fear, you know. They'll come to you with an answer and say, "If it just for instance, maybe you need medicine, maybe you need to see better." And they'll show you this. If you just take this, your eyes will have 20/20 vision. But if you pour it in there, you may end up having a brain hemorrhage, or you may end up dying, or you may end up bleeding out of your whatever. You know, just, I mean, they just promote fear. Amen. And the whole world, honestly, the world is making money on fear. And if you're not careful, you have to be careful what you're listening to, whether it's the news or the commercials or TV, even what you watch on TV. Watching a certain series and things and violence can promote fear in your life. And so we have to be careful about that. And then you when you listen to the news, you hear about things happening. You know, like if you're going to get on an airplane, you know, you're hearing about windows blowing out and doors falling off and things falling out of the bottom and planes having to turn around and people getting, you know, it's all over Instagram. You know, people have, you know, we know people have road rage, but people having plane rage. And just, you know, fear can be everywhere. And then they talk, and then there's the diseases. Here comes the bird flu, you know. It's COVID and this flu and that flu. And it's funny, I had a BLT for lunch, and, you know, all I hear about is what's going on with the cows and the chicken. And I said to Pastor, I said, well, at least they haven't touched the pigs yet. We can maybe eat a little bacon for a while. Not that that's, you know, really good for you. But we have to be careful because we can start really walking in fear. You know, we can come to church and have a good time and we can hear but when we're out there in the world, fear is right there at our doorstep trying to attack us. You know, and God is not the author of fear, but Satan is. And there is, and don't get me wrong, there is a fear of God. And maybe someday we'll teach on that, but I can give you an experience. I've had a few of them, but I can give you one very vivid experience of the fear of God that changed my life, that changed the destiny of my life. And when I first got saved, I was dating a guy. He was my first boyfriend. We were together probably for almost 10 years. He was my first date. And anyhow, I got radically saved, and I didn't want to be with him anymore, and you know, because he wasn't saved, and anyhow, I met Pastor Ed. I got saved, and I met Pastor Ed probably within. I got saved in November, and we were married in August. So all of these things happened within those months. And anyhow, about 2 weeks before the wedding, my old boyfriend drove out. And he said, God loves me, and I love God, and you know. Anyhow, I was a baby Christian, and I said, okay, I'll just go back to Boston with you. So we got in the car. I didn't tell Pastor Ed. I don't know what I was thinking. And just, so we get in the car, we get on the highway, and we're coming back, you know, I'm coming back home with him. And he stops to make a phone call. And he calls his mom, and he says, "Mom, I got Judy, and we're on the road back home." And when he said those words, the fear of God, I'm talking about, it just came all over me, and I saw a vision of my life with this guy. It was so strong. And I said, now I could have just, you know, sometimes you got to listen to the Holy Spirit, because I could have just thought, oh, you know, but I said, I'm not getting back in that car. And he took off, and somebody came and picked me up on the highway, and I ended up marrying Pastor Ed 2 weeks later. But that's a fear of, and you should listen to those inner voices, that the Holy Spirit when he's speaking to you. Some people get confused, and God is not the author of confusion, and so that's one kind of fear. But that's a God kind of fear, and that can come in different ways. But God does not use the spirit of fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen? And it's important for you and I, especially in these days, to eradicate fear and worry and give it no place in our life. No place. Amen? It means to destroy completely and totally, put it to the end, because when fear comes in, fear is the opposite of faith, and you can't step out in faith and believe God for any area of your life when fear is gripping you. Let's look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21. We'll start there. I don't know what that heat's on, but it sure seems warm in here. Is it just me? I wear the lightest clothes. I just want you guys to know that, just to stay cool. It says, Luke chapter 21, verse 25, it says, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts feeling them from fear, men's hearts feeling them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." After Jesus had been describing the things that were coming on the earth, the signs in the heaven, the signs in the earth, the distress, the distressed among nations, lack, depression, uncertainties, and all the things happened. But then he said in verse 26, men's hearts feeling them for fear. The men's hearts are going to feel them for fear. And if we keep opening the door to fear, if we keep listening to what's going on in the world, listen, you say, well, Pastor Judy, should we not listen to the news? There's a certain, you can hear what's going on, but to constantly feed on that stuff is going to provoke fear. Amen? You're not going to want to go anywhere. You're not going to want to do anything. You're going to want to wear a mask everywhere you go, even though they don't work. Hallelujah. So let's look at, we're gonna talk about this tonight, and we're going to talk about how to overcome it. How can I walk in faith? Listen, faith moves mountains. Faith takes what the devil has stolen from us. Faith will cause healing to come. Faith will cause financial prosperity. Faith will cause our kids to be protected and our family to be protected. Faith will cause our marriages to be strong. But when there's fear in all those places, it's the opposite of faith. Well, what if it doesn't work? What if I don't have enough? What if this happens? What if it's going to be the end of the world? What if China takes over? What if, I don't know, you know, you just have all these thoughts. Listen, it doesn't care what if. It doesn't care. We have to trust in God. Amen? And we cannot overcome fear with our natural thoughts. We got to take this word of God and drive it out and keep it out. Because many times our thoughts are traveling places, and if we don't catch our thoughts, we got to take captive those thoughts and bring them under subjection to the Word of God. Let's look at John 14, 27. Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace, which is the greatest peace, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Because that's just where the devil wants to get you. He wants to get you in fear. I remember when I first got saved at that time, and it was all about, there was such a move of God, that if you remember the hippie movement and all that, and everybody was afraid that they weren't going to be able to get married and have kids and you know, like things like that. They were like, well, if Jesus comes, we won't be able to do, you know, I didn't care. I wanted to go see Jesus. Amen? Not that I wanted to die, but I was saved, and, you know, you just couldn't wait to see the Lord. And but no, don't fear. You can't let even an inch of fear come into your life. Psalm 27, 1 through 3 says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life." If God is the light of your salvation, who shall you fear? "Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." Amen? Everybody's going through different things in life. Some people, it might be a financial thing, and they're having to walk through it. Don't fear that you won't get there, but turn your fear into faith on the Word of God. Maybe it's a physical situation. Maybe it's fearing that maybe your child is out there somewhere and you don't know where they are, or if they're gonna, no, put faith on it. Put the Word of God, change that thinking, because the devil wants you to think that. God told me this tonight when on the way here, when I was just going over my notes. It says, he said, "Fear kept the children of Israel out of the promised land." After all that God did for them, the cloud by day, the fire by night, the splitting of the Red Sea, fear kept them out. The Bible says that they had an evil heart of unbelief. Instead of the word being in their heart, they had unbelief. They were afraid of the giants. So they didn't move ahead in fear. But then he said this to me. He said, "Faith caused David to overtake Goliath, because David said, 'Thy word have I hid in my heart.'" And the word was the powerful thing that caused David to defeat Goliath. Amen? You cannot overcome in your own ways. It's God's word in your heart that will bring you into victory. I'm going to read a few scriptures to you. We're going to go through these pretty quick. Isaiah 41:10. Says, "Fear not, for I am with you." God is with us. God is with us. Think about that on your daily basis. Think that God is with me. I remember, and many of you heard my testimony when I had claustrophobia. And, you know, and I'm going to share how I got the victory over that. But I would, you know, speak the word and confess the scriptures. And here I was, a pastor's wife who believed in faith. But when I was 8 months pregnant, I went through a lemon squeeze up in New Hampshire, or orange squeeze, whatever it was. And I was down there in the cave, and I said to somebody, "How do you get out of here?" And they go, "Oh, you got to go all through there." And I just started, something came on me. I started yelling and screaming and going backwards and saying, "Move out of the way, I got to get out of here." Pastor didn't know what was going on. Next thing you know, I'm out of there, and Pastor's up on the mountain going, "Judy!" I'm like, "I'm okay, just go." But something happened, and I started to get afraid to go in elevator. I mean, we'd go to hotels, and I'd walk up 15 flights before I'd get in an elevator. You know, Pastor'd say, "Oh, I got to take the luggage up." I'd be, "Oh no, I'll help you. I'll just carry it up 15 flights. You know, I'll help you." But it was just crazy. And then I started to put the word in. It took a while to overcome it. I had to really learn. I didn't really think of it as fear. I didn't pay attention to it. So you got to pay attention to things. I was just thinking, I'm not gonna do that. You know, I mean, I used to go up to, we went to the top of the John Hancock. I would go anywhere. Nothing bothered me. And so one day, This is what happens when you put the Word of God in your heart. So I would meditate on certain scriptures, and I'll share some of those scriptures with you in a minute. And then all of a sudden, one day, we go to a hotel, and I walk in there, and I'm waiting for Pastor, and I'm standing in front of the elevator, and the Lord says to me, the Holy Spirit says, I am with you. My angels are with you. When you go in there, and he said this scripture to me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And man, that thing broke. I walked in that elevator, and I didn't wait for Pastor Ed. And you know what? That would try to come on from time to time. But every time it tries to come on, I just said, no, I'm going to step into that elevator. Amen? Listen, I had the weirdest experiences. My dad, who was a veteran, was in the veteran hospital. And he couldn't, walk up and down stairs, so he had to get... I went to visit him one day, and I wanted to take him to the cafe, which was down in the basement. And this is how the enemy works. And I'm thinking... I found out, you have to get in the elevator. This has all happened during that season of my life. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I got to get in the elevator with my dad, and I don't want him to be afraid. And I get in the elevator, and the elevator breaks down. Just me and him are in the elevator, him and I. And I'm like, it's between floors, and I'm trying to break. I'm like, oh, Dad, wait a second. I think we're stuck, and I'm trying to act real calm, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. It was just, they finally got us out of there, and as long as it took, I made my poor dad walk up the stairs back to where we were going. We did not get back in that elevator. But, that's what the devil does. He'll try to just create situations. He is in this earth. Amen? And thank God I'm free. Amen? Amen. So the Word of God does work when you put it to work. But you got to step out in faith when you hear that word that comes to you and gives you the victory. So Isaiah 41:10 says this, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. And I'm going to share with you in a minute how I was overcome with worry in that area and how God showed me to overcome that. Amen? But he says here, casting that care on him, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. God is watching over us. He cares about us affectionately. And he wants us to cast those cares. You know what? We try to fix everything, don't we? We try to fix our kids. We try to fix our family. We try to fix our marriages. We try to fix our finances. We have this in us that we try to fix everything. And some things we can fix, but many things we can't. Amen? But God can. And he says, cast these cares onto him, for he cares affectionately for us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 13 says this. It says, Jesus said, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. But this is the key. He wants you to ask. And a lot of people aren't asking. Oh, I don't want to ask God for that. I used to ask God for everything. I mean, every little detail. And then you get less and, well, maybe I can take care of this. I remember coming back, when we came back here, and I needed a job, and somebody said, hey, I was waitressing in Arizona. It was a resort town, and I was making anywhere from $80 to $100, and I was making a lot of money. This was 40 years ago. And so I said, I don't want to go back in an office. I want a waitress. I want to wait. And somebody said, you should go to Anthony's Pier 4. Anybody remember Anthony's Pier 4 in Boston? It was like the top restaurant. And then somebody said, oh, you'll never get hired there. They don't hire women. And I was, you know, I don't know how old I was, maybe my early 30s. And I thought, that's all I needed to hear was they don't hire women. I said, they're going to hire me. And I prayed. And I said, God, I want this job. I want to go, open the door. I really prayed. See, you need to ask the things that you desire from God. And so I walk into Anthony's, and there's a guy hanging there, and he goes, can I help you? And I said, yes, I'd like to apply for a job. Well, what do? I'm a waitress. Oh, okay, come on over here and fill out the application. I fill out the application. He says, when can you start? I said, as soon as you want. And I got the job. And you know who the guy was? Anthony. When you pray, even about the little things, God makes a way. And I'm telling you, so many supernatural things can happen when you pray. God will move. Amen? God will move in those areas. And Jesus saying here, he's saying, when you pray, he starts out in verse 7. He said, your Father knows the things before you ask them, but we've got to ask him. He needs to hear from us. He needs to have our authority to move in our life. Amen? God, I'd like this job. God, I want this. God, you know, this situation. I mean, there's things that you have to pray for the wisdom of God, and you have to pray for directions, but some things you just know what to pray for. Amen? Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to give you some instructions tonight. Because, you know, some of these things that I'm sharing, we really put them to work. Now, are we perfect as pastors? No, there are times we don't put the word to work. And we know when we don't put the word to work. We stay in that situation longer than we should, put it that way, until we say, what are you doing? What are we doing? You know? We're trying to fix this. We're trying to, when we went to buy that building in Abington, and we were believing God, this is years ago, our first church building, to show you like how we try to fix it. We were believing God, and we had 25 people in the church. We had one tither, and we had to raise $25,000 by a certain date, and it didn't look like it was coming in. And, you know, I grew up with family of, I don't want to say bad things about them, but, you know, there was loan sharks, you know, things like that kind of stuff, you know. And I thought, I'm just going to go to a loan shark. And they'll loan me the money, and then they'll forgive me. I didn't know where I was going to find one, but I was going to call my Uncle Ronnie. That's JoJo's dad. You want to hear a funny story about that? JoJo, can I tell it? I was babysitting for JoJo and all her sisters and brothers on Christmas Eve, and somebody came to the door, and it was these, you know, mafia guys. And he said, hey, is Ron Bethany here? I said, no, he's not here. He said, well, where is he? And they had guns. And I go, I don't know. I don't know where he is. You know, I didn't know what to say. You know, I was just like so nervous. And their parents had set up all these like dollhouses and everything all in the living room. So the kids were not supposed to get up and see anything. Well, the guy goes, I'm coming back in an hour or something, and he better be here. Well, I was so scared that I went and got all the kids, and I woke them all up, and I ran downstairs to, some of you know, I have a good friend in Arizona, Maureen, they're pastoring a church. Well, she lived downstairs with her mom, and so I took all the kids, and I knocked on the back door. This is like 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I said, Lillian, these guys are going to come, and they're going to kill us, and they're going to take the kids. And she opens the back door, and she says, okay, come on. So the guys come back. I don't know what time it was. Maybe it was midnight. And the guys come back, and you hear them going upstairs. Then they come downstairs, and they bang on Lillian's door, And Lillian's got these blinds, and we're all sitting on the couch really scared. And I was probably only 13, 14 years old or something. And we're all sitting on the couch, and the guy goes, "Where were those kids that were upstairs?" And she said, "I don't know. I don't know about any of those kids." He goes, "You better not." And he's yelling. I don't know what he's saying. And so she lifts up the blinds. She goes, I don't know. I didn't see anybody. And she peeks through, and the blinds fall off the window. And there we all are. And I didn't know God back then. Anyhow, I don't know how we get out of that, but we get out of it. I'm alive. I'm here. JoJo's here. And we told that story for years, but it was scary. But the point is, I was thinking, I'm going to go to a loan shark. I'm going to make this happen. You know, you try to get in God's way, you know, and you believe in God. But anyhow, I didn't go to the loan shark. And then I had this rich uncle, and I said, "Honey, you need to go talk to my rich uncle. He really likes you. Let's go over there." And we went over there, and we're sitting there, and I'm waiting for Pastor Ed, you know, to pull the plug, you know, and let's just borrow the money, you know. And he wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't do it. So we did get into that building, but it was our faith that got us into that building. It was our faith. It's a long story. You know, God will move for you if you'll trust God. Amen? Hallelujah. So I don't know why he went over into those stories, but anyhow, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to tell you, this was many years ago when this really, really came to light in my life. We were going through, it just seemed like we were always going through financial stuff and building the church. We were just trying to figure out how to do stuff and pray and believe God. But we were in a really bad spot. And we had a timeshare in Florida, and we went, and we went there for a few days, and we were thinking we were using our faith. We're putting the word on everything, and we're believing God, and we were meditating on these scriptures, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Anyhow, I get up early in the morning. We don't know how we're going to have this breakthrough, but I get up early in the morning, and I go in the living room, and I just started worshiping God. Well, the whole time I'm worshiping God, listen, guys, because you need to catch this, I'm worrying about the situation. I don't know how we can get out of this situation. I'm worshiping God, but I didn't realize where my mind was. But because I had meditated on the scripture, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit rose up, and he said, "Be not anxious for anything. Don't worry about anything. Tell me what you need." And it just broke. And trust me, it just changed everything. Let me read the scripture. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience." This is the scripture, verse 7. In the New Living Translation, "If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. And his peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And when I did, it was just like something broke. Be not anxious for this. I didn't realize that I was worrying about it. Sometimes we get into places, our mind gets into places, and we got to captivate our thoughts. We really have to watch our thoughts, especially in this day and age. Our thoughts can go crazy. The world is weird out there. Thoughts can wreck your marriage. Thoughts can wreck your finances. Thoughts can bring sickness and disease into your body. Thoughts of fear, thoughts of worry. Thoughts can bring, you know, fear and worry can bring things that are uninvited into your life. Amen? And I couldn't fix that situation. And God didn't give me the answer to that situation. But he told me what to do. That if I would just pray and not be anxious, that I would see the answer that we were looking for. And we're still here. Amen? Amen? So let's look at verse 8. He He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I want to go back and start with verse 6 again, because I want to give you five things in the scripture. The first scripture where it says, don't worry about anything, that's the number one step. Don't worry about anything. Instead, number two, pray about everything. Who told us to do that? God did. Do we have to pray about everything? We don't have to pray about everything. I used to go, Pastor Tom and Maureen, you know them when they come back. They're our pastors. When they would come back here, we used to take them to the mall and stuff, and Pastor Maureen would go into the looking for clothes. And one day she just stopped, and she was looking at this dress or something. I can't remember what it was. And she started praying in the Holy Ghost. And I was like, and she said, I do this all the time when I go shopping, because God knows that if I get this dress home, whether I'm going to really like it or I'm going to have to go through all the work of bringing it back and whatever, God knows. And I pray before I buy something, if I get a piece, I go for it. But until I get that piece, I just don't buy it. Pray about everything. This woman's one of the most prosperous women I know. Amen? And has overcome rheumatoid arthritis and many things, many battles. Amen? By putting these things to work. Don't worry, number one. Pray about everything, number two. Let's look at this is all in the scripture. Number three, tell God what you need. He already knows, but you got to talk to him about it. Amen? And then thank him for all he has done, number four. And then if you go down in verse 8, number 5, and this is the most important, fix your thoughts. One translation says, set your mind. Set your mind on the Word of God. You can try to fix everything. You can think you have all the wisdom of the world. But I'm telling you, it can't be compared with the power behind the Word of God. That will break things open, that'll break the chains that the enemy has brought against you, the mountains that he's got standing in your way, the sickness, the disease, the lack, the breakthrough that you need in your business, the breakthrough that you need in your marriage. The Word of God will bring that. But people are not putting the Word of God to work. We're so busy. It's not, in other words, the Word of God is not being lifted up in our life. But when we put it to work, the Bible says God watches over his word to perform it. He's looking for his word. He's looking for his word. He'll perform his word. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true, which is the word of God, honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Amen. We have to learn to keep our heart and our words aligned with what God says. When you get God's word in your heart, you'll have peace instead of fear. It'll dispel that fear, and one day you'll walk in front of that elevator and just like, my gosh, I'm set free. What a liberating feeling that was. It was awesome. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Watch your thoughts. And he says it, I'm going to bring this up, and let's look at Joshua 1:8. That's New Testament. I just want to read this to you in the Old Testament. In Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate. And that word meditate means to think on day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. And then he goes on in verse 9, and he says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and vigorous and very courageous. Be not afraid. Fear will draw your enemies on you like flies to a hot dog. I don't know. Just... I've never heard that, but just imagine you're having a picnic or something. I don't know. But he says, he tells Joshua, meditate, think on the word of God. And then he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, even in the elevator. Amen? But you cannot live in fear. And you cannot live in faith without the word of God, because it's the word of God that causes faith to come. Amen? And when you start meditating on, you know, I started writing out, and you know, the minute you start putting the word of God, the devil will come and try to steal the word of God out of your heart. The minute you start meditating on the word of God, the minute you start, you know, writing down scriptures and just really, I'm talking about getting really diligent with the word. I mean, the devil's going to test. Maybe you'll get a flat tire, or maybe some sickness will come your way, or something like that. And you're not going to be aware that you're in this spiritual battle if you're not in the word. You're just going to just like, oh, well, I got the flu. I guess I'll just, you know, whatever. I'll do what the rest of the world does, you know, go to bed until it's gone. But you know what? The word of God will cause you to rise up. A lot of times when we say, well, oh, that person has such great faith, you know, and we want to put a pat on our back if we believe God for something. But you know what? It's not us that did it. It's the word that we put in us that produced the victory, that produces the healing, that produces the breakthrough in our finances, that produces the breakthrough in every area that we believe God for. Amen? But it's just like, I mean, you can live through this life without ever putting the word of God. You can come and get a little bit here and there. You can be in love with Jesus. You can even go to heaven. You're saved. But I'm telling you, you're going to miss out on the blessings of God when you don't put the word of God in your heart. And the way the world is going today, I mean, I talk to people all the time. They don't want to go to concerts. They don't want to go to malls. They don't want to, it's like fear begins to rule everybody. They don't want to send their kids to school. The public schools the way they are right now, I don't want to send my kids there either. But what I'm saying, more for like a dangerous thing, things that are going on. Listen, we need to know that God will protect our kids wherever they are, and he will protect us wherever. We cannot just live in a cramped place and never do anything and live in fear, because we cannot bring the gospel to the world that way. Amen? I mean, thank God we have security in our church, but you can't be afraid. People are afraid to go to church. People are afraid of a lot of things. If you're afraid of anything, you need to get these scriptures. And you know what amazed me? I read you a few scriptures on fear. I haven't counted them, but there had to be hundreds of scriptures. Fear is a big thing of God saying, you know, what one scripture about peace, he said, I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And how do we keep our mind on God? By keeping it on his word. Amen? We have things, it was funny, and I'm getting ready to close, but one day I was just, just putting my makeup on, and I don't know, I just had this thought, you know, and I said, who would have thought I'd been doing this, and I'm just about to hit 70, you know, like thinking, like in other words, like, can we do this at 70? And the Holy Spirit rose up, and he said, who told you you couldn't? Who told you 70 was old? Who told you that you had to be winding down? Bible says we have long life and many days on the earth. Amen? And we can live as long as we'll believe God. Hallelujah. I think God is going to be fun when we get to heaven and find out where we went with our faith and where we would have been without our faith. How long we would have lasted without our faith. Hallelujah. You're quiet tonight. Amen. I just exhort you, get into the Word of God. If you have fear in your life in any area, maybe people in your family died young, you think you're going to die young, every little pain that comes across, oh, maybe that's this, oh, I don't know, or maybe it's cancer, or maybe it's this, or maybe something's going on in your head. They have a prescription for everything. Listen, before you go to prescriptions, go to God first. I'm not saying you can't take medicine. I'm not saying, you know, but once they get you on medicine, they got you for life. You know, and you think, well, if I don't do what the doctor says, then I'm going to die, you know. You better pray first. Amen? I mean, I'm not saying doctors are bad. They can only go so far. But listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you won't know, if you don't have the Word in you, the Holy Spirit has nothing to work with. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of this tonight? Don't let fear in any way. Okay? Just be aware. If you put the scriptures in you, God will start giving you an awareness of where the fear is. And you'll begin to overcome that. Amen? We're called to overcome those things. Nothing can separate us. We're conquerors. Amen? We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to stand with me tonight.